scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, to left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon.
Okay, let's get it going for another day. Happy Tuesday. It is Tuesday, May 27th, and we are underway on this hour on Flames Talk. Steinberg, Logan Gordon from our Groundworks downtown studio on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Text line's open for you this hour at 960-960. Got a very special guest for you at the middle part of the hour.
Colin Patterson?
When's the last time we had Brent Cron on the program? It's been a long time.
When did the morning show steal him?
It's been a few years since we've had Cron with us.
He's not done talking about those Calgary Flames.
He told you he's not done playing with the talking about those Calgary Flames. Croner's going to be in the house for Game 4 of the Western Conference Final. We'll catch up with Cron for 15 or 20 minutes a little bit later on. But we know, first of all, hi, Logo.
Hello.
We know the Flames have some areas they'd like to upgrade. We know the Flames have some areas they'd like to target this offseason. And honestly, I think those areas are going to be tough to target and fill adequately in free agency. As much as we can talk about Bennett or Marner or any of the other potential UFAs, I don't know if the long-term fixes for the Flames at any of their spots of need are going to actually be effectively addressed in free agency. And that's why a trade seems to make so much more sense for the Flames. Look, drafting, absolutely. They've got two first round picks coming up. They've got 18th overall. They've got 29, 30, 31, or 32 when it's all said and done. We'll find out where it ends up being here in the next number of weeks. But I still feel like a trade, when we're talking about some of the real areas they need to address and some of the areas that they'd like to get younger at, Logo, it feels like if they're going to want to actually be successful there, probably a trade's going to be the way to go.
Yeah, it feels that way. And look, I know a lot of people firmly believe that the draft is the tried and true only way to get yourself a top-end center, especially what the Calgary Flames are looking at in the depth chart, but I think there are other examples of teams that have gone the trade route. And yes, sometimes it involves taking a bit of a risk and taking a bit of a, I'll call it a guess, but with a little bit more of a sample size than, say, a prospect. And those can be risky. I mean, I think specifically of Jack Eichel and going back to, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights taking a chance on a guy that was having a surgery no one had ever had in the NHL before. Those are sometimes the opportunities that lead you to acquiring a number one center or potentially an impact maker. Sometimes you have to make those take those chances, and I think the Calgary Flames are getting closer and maybe coming more in line with understanding that might be how they get that impact center.
And I think also that, like, if you're looking for a younger kind of permanent top four left side D, which is the other area I think they're really lacking right now, then that also probably is either drafted or traded for. I don't know if you're getting that guy in unrestricted free agency the way that you'd want to. So I bring all this up because, funny enough, our boy Frank Saravalli, who joined us on Monday's program, has published his top 20 trade targets. And there's one name on there that really interests me, a few others that are intriguing as well, but one that really interests me.
Eric Karlsson.
No, I don't know if Eric Karlsson is the way to go. No, I really, and we talked a little bit about him when we were reading through some texts on Monday's show. Text line's open, 960, 960, if you want to chime in on this. But, you know, right there in the top five of Frank's trade board is Minnesota's Marco Rossi. And I really, really feel like that's the exact type of guy that you're talking about. Is he of the Jack? Like, do I see him being a 90 to 100 point guy? No, so he's not quite of the Jack Eichel
pedigree,
caliber, pedigree. I mean, even before Vegas got Eichel, Jack was still a number one center in this league, and it's why that was such a big trade to watch for. It's why Vegas really didn't hesitate when it was all said and done to make that deal, even with the experimental surgery. So Rossi's not that, but I do think he's the type of player that you take a chance on, and maybe there is some upside. Like, again, do I look at him as the generational number one center for this team? No, don't get me wrong. I don't see that. But do I see a guy that could help a team that, whether they have a number one center or not, Logo, they're still not very deep down the middle organizationally, especially when it comes to the system, like the prospects? That's a guy I absolutely would take a chance on. Mm-hmm. And he's already shown us he can be of the number two center variety. And if that's all he is as a member of the Flames, I would still like it. But if there's even a little bit more upside for a guy who just turned 23, he's hit 20 or more goals in back-to-back seasons, 60 points on one of the lowest scoring teams in the NHL this year. I don't know. I think there's something there with Rossi, and I think that you have to take into account how much his development got absolutely jacked up by a bad case of COVID right after he was drafted. That also messed with things a little bit. So I go take a look at Frank's board, and I see Marco Rossi sitting there at number three, and I think he would be a really, really interesting guy for the Flames to take a heavy look at if the Wild are willing to move off of him.
Yeah, even if you take the name out of it and take away the fact that he was a ninth overall pick in 2020, Pat, I think you look at it and you go, how many 23-year-old centers coming off of a career year are generally available for trade in the NHL? A handful? Mm-hmm. Less than that? Maybe one or two? There's just not many guys that fit that bill. Now, of course, career season means something different for everybody. But a 60-point career season, as you mentioned, on one of the lower-scoring teams in the National Hockey League, leads you to believe that perhaps, given more opportunity, given better players to play with, there's a chance that Marco Rossi could be that. And I think your point's well kept, that in the sense that it doesn't have to be, he doesn't have to be your number one center. Because I keep going back to this, is Backlund's getting older, and so is Kadri. And while Nas had a great season, and there's no denying that.
Kadri's 35 in October. Backlund's 37 in March. So we're talking about guys who very soon, in Kadri's case, will be closer to 40 than he is to 30. And Backlund's already in that spot at 36 right now.
So, and then you add in, again, what you mentioned about the lack of, like, who's pushing right now for a top six center spot in this organization. Hard to name guys that are doing that. Yeah, the reality is, the Flames might need a number one center for the future, Pat. They might need a number two center for the future as well.
Yeah.
And building depth down the middle, not a bad thing. Not a bad thing in any way, shape, or form. You do not want to get into another cycle where, and maybe it's been longer than a cycle in Calgary, if I'm being honest, you and me have been here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There haven't been a lot of top-end centers here. Why get one if you can get two? And have a good 3-4 and have guys pushing down the middle for those kind of spots. I can't think of many better areas for a team to have depth than down the middle. It seems like the best way to go about it. So, yeah, it might be a cruel reality to say that, yeah, 3-4 years from now, this team could use both a one and a two. So if Rossi's not your, doesn't turn out to be your one, well, if he could turn out to be a two, that works out pretty good too, because there's just not a lot that you see filling that void right now for the Calgary Flames. And maybe that changes. A prospect comes up, a draft, whatever. Right now, speaking specifically on this day, they need more in the organization in terms of depth down the middle.
And Minnesota might be the team that, like, maybe a Marco Rossi's the type of guy you could get back for a Rasmus Andersson. I mean, the Wild are a team that I don't think are, and I'm not suggesting that you would be necessarily shopping Andersson to Minnesota, but if you were really interested in Rossi and the Andersson conversations aren't going the way that you want, Well, then there's an interesting conversation to have. I think the Flames would have to add more to bring in a young center, but I feel like that's the type of guy that would be worthy of taking a chance on. And I don't even think you're taking that massive a chance.
He's already hit 60 points at 23. And he's not, by the way, before anyone jumps in, he's not playing with Kaprizov. So that's been Joel Eriksson's next spot pretty much every time Kaprizov has been healthy.
Back-to-back 20 goals.
I think his most common line mates were Zuccarello and Foligno. And Zuccarello's had some good offensive years, but you tell me you couldn't? With maybe a Coronado or somebody like that wouldn't intrigue you to see what kind of offensive potential, even Huberto, an 80-point center. Yeah. If he could turn into that, that'd be a huge win. Also, just before we go any further, isn't this a weird one? Like, why Minnesota would want to move off of this guy and they can't really seem to figure it out?
Seems like the dollar figure that is going to be commanded by Rossi is, or what their camp believes he's worth, is maybe not where Minnesota sees him going forward. He's kind of over the last, I think he got dropped down quite a bit in the postseason when it comes to his usage. And I think that, you know, there's maybe a little bit of a discrepancy between where Rossi and his camp sees himself and where the Wild see him going forward. He was dropped down to the fourth line by the end of the postseason, which is obviously not where he would like to be.
So. No, but I mean, also bold when I look at the center depth chart and it's Freddie Gaudreau,
Ryan Hartman.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, you want to pass him along to Calgary, be my guest. I'm not here to tell Bill Guerin how to do his job, but seems like an interesting guy to move off of.
Guerin doesn't mess around, which is why I know a lot of people point to him as a guy that, hey, you know what? Maybe the Wild to say, instead of dealing with a protracted contract negotiation or a potential holdout, let's maybe see what we can get for him instead. His underlings were fairly decent this year, and I think there's a lot of potential. The only drawback would be on Rossi is that he's not a right shot center. But again, those guys aren't necessarily really easy to come by. So Rossi's the guy on Frank's list that jumps off the page to me most. The other one is Bowen Byram of the Buffalo Sabres. And again, I'm just going to quickly this year, the guy that he played with most, he being Rossi, was Zuccarello. Mm-hmm. Played a little bit with Boldy. And then kind of all over the place with a bunch of other players. So anyway, look, Kevin Ball's a nice piece on their left side going forward on defense. Still got to figure out what that contract's going to look like and how that is going to get figured out. But Bowen Byram is, if Buffalo's going to move off of him, which again, much like Rossi, you're like, why would a team be wanting to move off a 23, 24-year-old center or a 24-year-old potential top pair defense, but there's been enough smoke about this for enough time that, yeah, Bowen Byram, who slots in on Frank's list at number, where is he at here? He's at number 4. There's enough smoke surrounding Byram, who's also a restricted free agent, that you can't sit here and say that it's not a possibility that he gets dealt. And again, he would be one that I'd be like, yeah, That would make a ton of sense for the Flames. A long-term partner for Zane Parekh or a long-term partner for Mackenzie Weegar. There'd be a lot of reason for the Flames to target that. That one I feel like might even cost you more. With no disrespect to Rossi, who I really like, I feel like you might be able to get a little bit of a more value-type price on him just because doesn't have the same pedigree as Byram does. And, you know, Bowen Byram's been a guy that has been touted as a really important piece in Buffalo ever since he was dealt from Colorado. So those would be the two names that are of a lot of interest to me. Rossi 1 and Byram 2.
Yeah, and the Byram 1, you know, going back to the conversation we had about why would you move this guy, it makes a little more sense from the Buffalo perspective because they have a lot of defensemen in Buffalo right now. Darlene, Samuelson, Owen Power. They got Jacob Bernard Docker and the Dylan Cousins move with Ottawa. Connor Clifton's on a pretty good deal there. They like him quite a bit, and they've already got, I believe, one guy's playing on the other side. I don't know if that's Samuelson or somebody else, but they've got a fair amount of defensemen in Buffalo, so maybe you're looking to change it up a little bit and figure out a different formula that's going to work if you're Kevin Adams. And yeah, going through the free agent list like we have, Pat, and talking about who's really out there, yeah, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of options. The right side's been, it feels like organizationally, filled in quite nicely by the Calgary Flames now and potentially into the future. I mean, if we're talking about Weegar, Anderson, and Parekh potentially all being Flames in September, the right side looks loaded.
And in the future, who knows what's going to happen. But
Muse, Brstevich.
Yeah, you got some nice pieces going forward.
Yeah. So, it makes sense that I think the Calgary Flames would go around that. And again, what's Bowen Byram, a 23-year-old defenseman right in the same kind of age range as a Marco Rossi and probably looking to get a fair paycheck coming his way? And if you're the Buffalo Sabres, I don't know that you can invest a lot more in the back end, since Owen Power already got his money.
Mm-hmm.
Rasmus Dahlin got his money. Samuelson is on a very team-friendly 4.2, but he signed for the next 7 years. You're going to lock in four or five pieces on your back end for 6-7 years?
See, if I'm the Sabres, I'm doing a little bit of cost-benefit analysis and seeing what my threshold is. Like, and obviously, I can't give you the answers to this, but what is the value offset? So say Byram, you're looking for takers there and see what type of interest there is for Byram. And you don't love the interest there, so maybe it looks better to re-sign him and you trade a guy like Samuelson instead. And maybe the value for Samuelson compared to what he is, you can get a little bit more. So like the value offset might make more sense to sign Byram and trade Samuelson. Either way, either of those two guys, I think, are really nice pieces nice for options. Any team going forward on the left side. Now, if I'm the Sabres, I mean, I don't know. I get it that you're really eager to make some changes and you haven't liked the way things have gone the last decade and a half, but I still find it strange that Bowen Byram and the Sabres aren't just knee-deep in contract talks and trying to get that done.
Well, and I mean, if you're Bowen Byram coming from Colorado to the mess that is Buffalo, I might want to get out of there myself.
Yeah, which I could see.
Right, I mean, the number one guy on the trade list is another Buffalo Sabre.
Yes, Frank has J.J. Paterka at his number one.
So, and look, the one thing about Buffalo that I go back to when everyone was having the Dylan Cousins conversation, Pat, I still don't know what the fit is, like what Buffalo would want from Calgary to make that happen. Buffalo feels like they need the right mix of, like, the future just doesn't do them anything right now. Like, Kevin Adams isn't going to save his job off of getting a first-round pick this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just not going to do it. So they probably need some sort of impact veterans at this point.
What the hell do the Flames have that would attract Byram here?
It's not, why the Cousins trade not made the it player, so difficult.
Not the player, but what assets do the Flames have to attract Buffalo sending Byram here is my big question. Like, I can see it a whole lot more with Rossi in Minnesota than 100%. I could with Byram in Buffalo. Because does Anderson need to be there? Like, is that an area they need to upgrade? So the number one trade chip, by the way, Frank has Rasmus Anderson number 6 on his board. So is Rasmus Anderson the guy that would attract Buffalo? I don't know. Would Rasmus want to sign in Buffalo if that was the case? I also am skeptical about that. So, and the rest of the veterans on this team that, I don't know, like, you're not trading Coronado for Byram, I don't think.
I don't think Kadri has any interest.
I don't think they'd be looking for a soon-to-be 35 Kadri.
You know, and something there's not a lot. Minnesota doesn't have a first-round pick this year. Anderson makes an awful lot of sense for a team.
Like, you don't have to squint to see it with Minnesota.
No. But you got Buffalo. You do.
You got to kind of tie yourselves in knots to see how the Flames could be able to pry a guy like Byram out of
even the veterans that you just talked about that have trade protection. who's waving it to go to Buffalo right now?
Yeah.
It's not the two-time champion Blake Coleman sitting there going, yeah, I moved my family to Calgary and committed to Calgary. And you know what? Maybe the time has come, but I'm going to waive it to go to Buffalo. Not a chance. It's just not happening.
Text line 96960. This says Buffalo's going to want control similar to their Eichel trade. Could you package something around Zeri, Muse, and a first? I don't know if that gets it done for the Sabres.
I don't think you can give up a guy down the middle.
And also remember the Eichel trade. They got Alex Tuch back, who is a guy they really wanted, and they got the prospect. And they also were kind of backed into a corner with that one. I don't know if they're backed into the same corner on the Byram front.
No, because they can still qualify him and play the waiting game.
Yeah.
Right? Until they get an offer that they like, they don't have to give up anything on Bowen Byram.
And it hasn't gone toxic like it did with Eichel either. This from Dylan says, drives me nuts that nobody talks about Zeri anymore. This guy has a metric frig ton of skill. He looked great down the middle pre-injury. I'd be willing to bet he becomes a number 2C at worst. He's straight up dynamic. That comes from Dylan and Revy. I'm not suggesting that they should. Who's saying that? We're not suggesting to get rid of Zeri. We're not writing him off. The more depth this team can have down the middle under the age of 30,
the better.
They don't, other than Frost and Zeri right now, and Frost would be 26 if he's not already. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a problem with them adding more center depth. That doesn't mean anything to what Zeri's status could be going forward for this team. A couple of people have asked about Shane Pinto. He's not on Frank's list, but I'd still be all over a guy like Shane Pinto if they could get him. He'd be, again, another really good one, knowing that he's a right shot center.
It feels like there's more smoke about Pinto in Calgary coming from out east than there is from Calgary.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of people talking about it, but nobody here talking about it is all I would say to that.
Jorge says, offer sheet Byram. We'll get into offer sheets later this week, but I really don't think offer sheets make a ton of sense for the Flames this year. I really, really don't. And I'll tell you why later this week.
It's because you'd protect the 2026.
That's essentially what it comes down to.
Like your own child. You'd give up Shan if it meant keeping the 2026.
I wouldn't give up
first.
Shan for anything.
That's not true.
This from Dustin. Flames haven't had a number one center for 40 years since they traded 25 for 12. Neuendijk for Iginla. Funny, that's about the same amount of years they've been hanging around the middle. That's not from Dustin. That's from somebody else, but that's well said. Dustin says, I know you guys don't like this stuff, but I know Byram would come to Calgary. Hands down would be his favorite spot to come. Browdy says Shane Pinto. He's a right shot center. There you go on the text line at 960-960. Those are just some of those are the two interesting trade targets that I would be intrigued by on Frank's list for the Flames. Rasmus Anderson, by the way, is number 6 on Frank's list. Marco Rossi is 3. Bowen Byram is 4. Steinberg and Logo. This hour on Flames Talk is underway. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's a very rare privilege when our next guest joins us. Very rare indeed. He's the pride of Winkler, Manitoba. And you know him, you love him, from The Big Show with the Boys. And over the last couple of months, the Flames Alumni Chronicles, spelt K-R-A-H-N, Chronicles. It's play on word. Brent Cron joins us from Edmonton right now on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Hi, Croner.
What's going on, boys? How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm having a beer, eating some chicken wings, getting ready for a big game tonight.
Are you in Club 99 right now?
No, we just checked into the hotel. It's a bit of a distance from I've never been to Rogers Place, ever.
You've never been to Rogers Place, really?
ever. My whole life, I've driven by. I've never been inside. Never had any intention of going. But I'm sitting here with two buddies that really, really, really wanted to go, and they brought me along. And now I'm here, and I got to take an Uber there, and I'm sitting up in the nosebleeds. I heard there's no bad seat in the building. We'll find out tonight for a big Dallas Stars win.
But yeah, go. Are you gonna pull out the old photos of you looking at the mask on the stick? Wearing pull those photos out for good luck tonight. Well,
I have an old hockey card of mine or two. I'm gonna pull it out in case I get in trouble. Okay. And say, excuse me. Okay. Have you guys? You remember the Upper Deck 1999? You seen this card before?
Oh, I am.
This is a get out of jail free card. Just so you know, don't touch me.
Where? Right? So where are you? Where are you staying?
We're at the Doubletree here. That's like sitting at the lounge here, having a meal before we get over. Okay. It's a lot of windows. I'm staring at downtown. I thought it was walking distance. Turns out it's not. So I don't know. We're gonna see how this goes. I'm in enemy territory, Patrick.
Well,
and I'm struggling here at the moment.
How? Okay. Now we need to. I know you talk about this plenty on the big show. But like, okay, honestly, and what I want to spend most of the time talking about the Chronicles, but, like, honestly, this Stuart Skinner story is, can you wrap your head around how a guy can look either so ill prepared to play in this league or look like he's played in this league his entire life? It's bonkers.
It's almost like watching Hellebuck play at home and on the road. Like, but except, you know, with Hellebuck that he's going to play better at home than he is on the road. Here, it's, you don't know what you're going to get. But you mean that last game, Game 3, was Skinner's best game by far. He was dialed in. He was ahead of the play. He was challenging. He was reading the play well. He was covering low. He was controlling his rebounds. He was battling for space. And he looked like a guy that was super, super confident. We all saw how pumped up he was after the game. But even the win in Game 2 against Dallas, he was fine. Edmonton got a lot of the breaks on their goals. Even the first goal is a broken play. It breaks a stick, gets tipped in backdoor. A lot of kind of, you know, just not chintzy because that's disrespectful, but just, you know, bad bounces for the Stars. They ended up losing that game. The Oilers in this series have been the better team for, you know, the last two games in particular, but even the first two periods in Game 1. And for Skinner to be able to turn it around, you know what? Like, there's a ton of pressure on him in this city. I mean, they've had so many goaltenders come through. I mean, you've had Devin Dubnyk, who was supposed to be the savior, and Edmonton was a really bad team, and they put him in a situation that he wasn't going to develop in. And then you bring in Habby Boulin as his backup, and Habby Boulin didn't do fantastic. And you know, Dubnyk moves on and has a hell of a career in the National Hockey League. And then you have you have Rollison, you have, you know, Ty Conklin coming through, you know, Martin Gerber there for a little while. You've had so many guys. It's been a revolving door, right? And then you get a guy like Stuart Skinner. 2 years ago, he was supposed to be, you know, 1A, 1B. A couple of years ago, sorry, they signed Jack Campbell, and he's supposed to be the starter, and Skinner's supposed to be the backup. And that's a good role for him to get his feet wet in the National Hockey League. But, it, you know, it turns out Jack Campbell couldn't wheel a tire down a hill. He couldn't stop the beach ball. we all knew that coming in. I don't know what Edmonton was thinking signing him.
You loved Jack Campbell. You loved that signing.
You and I talked about the second they signed Campbell. I'm like, everybody knows this is a mistake. What is going on here? Like, you know, he's got the ability for sure. But between the years, it's tough. And so they thrust Skinner into a starting role. And he did well, better than expected. Ton of pressure on him. And then he goes into a playoff situation, and he's got to be their number one guy. And there's really no veteran leadership. There's no guy that's steering the ship. There's no safety net underneath him. He's it. Goes in, plays the playoffs last year, does well, falters in Round 2 against Vancouver, has a little reset. Pickard comes in, goes 1-1. Skinner comes back, riding the rest of the way. He was fantastic. This playoff, I mean, you know, Edmonton wasn't ready to go right off the bat in the playoffs. Skinner wasn't very good. The whole team was garbage. LA gives that series away in Games 3 and 4 in Edmonton. They gain momentum. Pickard comes out of nowhere and wins 6 games in a row. And he wasn't fantastic, but he didn't let in that junk goal at a poor time. And he made a save or two when the Oilers needed it. And that's it. They get confidence. They get on a roll. Then you get Skinner back in there, and he doesn't look very good at all. And he falters a tap, but then he comes back and he gets two shutouts, and you're just like, what is going on? What's happening? And it's momentum for him. It's confidence. It's early saves. it seems like with him too, he kind of feeds off of the negativity. You know, when people really get on him, really start beating him down, you can kind of reset and just say, hey, I got nothing to lose. Let's go out there and play. But at the end of the day too, I mean, it's you don't want to let guys like McDavid and Draisaitl down. And guys can try too hard too, right? Where they're trying to do too much. And I mean, not saying Skinner's trying to do that, but, you know, you're a goaltender. You don't forget how to stop the puck. You just lose your confidence from time to time. Edmonton wasn't playing great defense. They're giving up, you know, odd man rushes and you know, goals that, you know, are good goals, but you want your goaltender to make a key save at a key moment.
Yeah.
And right now, he's on it, man. He's on it. It's hilarious. It's just, I can't even put my finger on it. Like, it's not goalie coaching. It's just simply Skinner himself just saying, hey, you know, screw it. I got to go out there and make some saves and do my job. And you can see the Oilers are trusting him now a lot more too with the way they're playing. They're not trying to dive in front of every puck. They believe that he's going to stop it. But once again, at the start of the game is everything. You're holding your breath, seeing where it goes.
Yep.
If you make
yep.
sure he saves, he gets his confidence, right?
I was going to say, just to that point, Cronner, now that Pickard is presumably healthy and able to back him up, do the Oilers have a longer leash for Skinner, or would you hesitate to go back to Pickard if he falters again?
Well, you go back to Pickard if he falters again. This has been a tandem all season long, right? Guys get hot at certain moments, ride the wave. If, you know, Skinner lays an egg tonight or doesn't play well, they'll put Pickard in, and then he'll start the next game. And that's the way they're going to go about it. I mean, that's what I would do because, you know, can you believe we're sitting here saying, thank God that Pickard's healthy, or thank God for Pickard, you know, the Oilers Nation, right? Like, who thought they were ever going to say that? Not me. Blows the doors off of, you know, my philosophy. It's like, I still like the number one goaltender. Well, you know, you got a guy like Bobrovsky who plays every single game, right? That's just the way it is. But they've done it by committee here in net with the Oilers, and the guy falters. And, you know, throughout the season, too, it's been the same thing. Skinner struggled or Pickard struggled. They've picked up the mail and when one guy's struggling, and that's what they're going to continue to do. I fully expect Skinner's going to be on his game tonight. It's a big game for Dallas. It's a bigger game for Ottinger. He hasn't been terrible, but Skinner's been better, and that's the bottom line. Ottinger's got to make some saves he's got no business making tonight in order for the Stars to win this game. And, you know, guys like Duchesne got to show up. You know, the regular season Stars got to perform in the playoffs, and Duchesne's definitely one of those guys. You know, Dallas has had some passengers here the last couple of games against the Oilers, and you know, hopefully they can make this a series.
Has Ottinger given you some pause to think about maybe who the U.S. might want as their number one in the Olympics next year?
Well, you know, I think it'll be him. I honestly do. I think what bothers me about Ottinger is, you know, Flames fans remember him against the you know, when the Flames played the Stars in round one, went to game seven, Johnny Gaudreau had that great, you know, that short side shot from an impossible angle to win the game. How lights out Ottinger was. He wasn't even on the map until that series. Now, that's all I remember is how lights out he was. But let's not forget, you know, Markstrom didn't have nearly the workload, but still won the series. And he was, even though Ottinger got all the praise for getting all the shots and all that stuff, Markstrom still made the saves when he needed to make, kept the game close and won the series. So at the end of the day, he was the champ. And we're giving Ottinger all the flowers. He's got Ottinger for him to get himself to the next level. He's got to steal a series against the Oilers here, and that's easier said than done. I mean, you got the two best one, you know, the best player in the National Hockey League, and you know, arguably one of the best players in the National Hockey League in Draisaitl. You got to steal a game against the Oilers, man. Like, you can't just that first goal with Bouchard when he takes that one timer along the ice, beats him far side game three. Like, that was a shocker for me to go in. Even you know, McDavid, goal three, coming in, shooting far side blocker. You know, Andre's 6'5". He's a big boy. He's a big body. He needs to put his mark down in this series because he hasn't been good in conference finals the last two seasons. And this is his third time. This is his third go around, and he's doing the same things, and the team's doing the same things. So somebody's got to grab the bull by the horns here and show them that they're not going to go down lightly, and then they've got to make a stand here. I think Andre's the U.S. goalie no matter what. For a short period of time in a tournament like the Olympics, I think he's your guy all the way through. But he needs to, if he wants to kind of up his value, this series has to be his.
Well, we're chatting with Brent Cron. You know him from The Big Show and the Flames Alumni Chronicles as well. Okay, Cronner, how much have you enjoyed the Chronicles? We've now How many have we taped? We've probably done like five different tapings up at the Garrison.
Yep.
And couple alumni members each and every time. How have we liked it so far?
You know what? It's so funny because, you know, you guys do such a good job. What I'm on, it's easy for me to answer. I can talk, you know, I can talk in circles a lot too, but I can talk. And so when I'm asked questions, it's easy to answer them. But when you're trying to initiate the conversation, to hold the conversation, to maintain the conversation, to ask the right questions, to get out of the way, that's been a learning curve for me. And I mean, you were one of the first guys I ever sat down with and got into this business with. And I appreciate that. Like, you have no idea, but it's been a treat for me. You know, I grew up watching all these guys. You know, you get guys like, you know, Mike Vernon was my first roommate in the National Hockey League. Yeah. Laddie McDonald was on the podium for my draft. Ronnie Stern, one of my best buddies. You got Tim Hunter up there. You get, you know, I mean, Hawk and Lube comes in. It's like, you know, hold the press. We got to get Hawk and Lube on before he goes back to Sweden. You got like 24 hours to get going here. You know, we had Doug Barkley, Al Coates on the other day. Like, you know, Dana Merzen, it just, it doesn't end. You know, there's just, and you know what, the cool part about the whole thing was is when you get these guys on, that they all remember it a different way. Right. So, you know, you get Vernie on talking about a certain sequence, and then McCowan comes on and says the same sequence in a different way. And Vernie's like, well, I never really thought about it like that. I didn't realize that this was happened like that. And this is the way this went. And so for me, I mean, I'm so, you know, a Southern man, a small town Southern Manitoba kid. I grew up a Flames fan watching them win the cup in 89. And it's just so cool to ask him. Like, I'm such a fan, you know, and once we kind of get through all the boys, you know, the big boys at the alumni, you know, we'll start getting the guys that are my age and guys I played with and guys I played against, you know, it'll be another round, but I'm enjoying the ride. I'm having so much fun learning as I go. Colin Patterson is just an absolute stud. Patter's been just a great sounding board, great old co-host. He knows these guys inside and out, and everybody trusts him and loves him. So he's the biggest component of all, and I'm just enjoying the ride, man. It's been a great time.
Flames alumni group seems like a pretty special group to be a part of, Cron, just not only from the Chronicles, but everything you guys do in the city, and it seems like a really tight-knit group that guys enjoy being a part of.
Well, you know what? It's with the Chronicles, too, but even outside of that, the guys, they're all leaders, right? They all want to help their teammate out, to help their buddies out, if they can help them succeed or you know, leave it better than you found it. I mean, that's the whole thing that I got through this, is that they look out for one another. And I'm just so lucky and fortunate to be part of such a great organization in the Calgary Flames alumni. I mean, I played one game in the National Hockey League. I got drafted to the Flames. I mean, there's guys that put over 1,000 games that are in it, right? And you can't even tell half the time. Everybody's just a normal human being, down to earth, eager to give back, eager to help, picks up the phone when you call. You know, it's like being in a dressing room. We have such a great time. You know, we have our skates throughout the winter. And you know, the intensity's there, but the chirping and the fun is great. And then all the charity work and the time that's put in. I mean, you know, brown bagging for kids, packing lunches in the mornings, that's great. Cerebral palsy, you know, the CP bikes for kids, you know, all the great work that the alumni does. I mean, we have our alumni golf tournament coming up here on Thursday. You know, Robin Regeers is a master at it. Dana Merzen ran it for forever, and Reggie's taken it over and done such a great job. And, you know, it's just everybody that takes a whether they do a little or a lot, it's appreciated because it's what they can give. And everybody in that group is like a brother, and we just all have a great time. It's just fun listening to old stories, and I'm just very happy to be a part of it.
Done a hell of a job. It's been awesome kind of just being a fly on the wall for those things, both on and off the mic. And the latest episode of the Flames Alumni Chronicles is available now on the Flames Talk podcast feed with Ronnie Stern. Al Coates, part one of your chat with the former Flames executive, coming up on the latest episode. There's 10 episodes already. Vernon, Fleury, Hunter, so on and so forth. It's been really good. You've done a hell of a job, Cronner. So it's been an honor to be just a tiny little part of it. So good job, my friend. Hey, stay on the line for a special surprise. But for this part of it, have a wonderful time in Edmonton. Thanks, pal.
That sounds like a joke, but I can't wait.
Brent Cron on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.